I was thinking that one thing I would like to look at, I want to look at some things in the book of First Peter. I don't understand everything that I read, but I'm going to look at some words, phrases, what God has said in his word. And I'm going to try to work my way through First Peter and see what God will teach us from his word. But with that said, I'm going to start reading in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We're going to begin in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Here where Peter's name is mentioned about 162 times in the New Testament. His name is mentioned about 162 times throughout the New Testament. That's a lot. And God has used Peter. He's one of the original disciples. And I'm not going to look at everything about Peter's life, but God has used him in a mighty way throughout the Bible, as we know. But one thing I would like to look at is in, if you'll put a marker there in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we were first introduced to Peter in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, that's where I believe that we're first introduced to Peter. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 12, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness, saw great light, and to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light sprang up. And from that time Jesus began to preach, to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Here, I believe that's where we were first introduced to Peter, and we know that he had a brother by the name of Andrew. And here we know that he's a fisherman. It's a quite noble profession to be a fisherman. You know, I had a brother who worked at a Jewish place where they smoked fish and salmon, kipper salmon and all that stuff. And when he comes home, the smell of fish is on him. I said, oh, I mean, he's in the smell of fish. Fish is in his car, in his clothes. He just can't get rid of it. You know, but I tell you, the fish was pretty good. Yeah. But, it's a noble profession. Where, you know, you look at these these disciples in the Bible, they weren't, you know, how we might call it today, intellectual people, you know, people who the world will hold in high regard. They were humble profession. The Lord Jesus was a carpenter, was a builder. It's no accident that he's a builder. He came to build the kingdom of Christ. And here, God tells us that Peter, he's a fisherman, and he had a brother, and here God is going to use him in a mighty way throughout the Bible. And that's where we're first introduced to him. And let's look at his name, Peter. You know, there's a denomination here that really put Peter on a pedestal. And that shouldn't be. Peter is a believer just like any one of us. He is saved by the grace of God. And any true believers don't want any attention on themselves. All the glory and all the praise goes to Christ. He's the one who gets all the praise and the glory. But we turn over to John chapter 1. Let's go over to John chapter 1. Start reading verse 38. John chapter 1, verse 38. And we're going to read up to, I believe, verse 45. John chapter 1, verse 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master." Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto him, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He said unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So there's no doubt that he had a brother, at least one brother. If he had any other siblings, we don't know. He first findeth his own brother Simon, said unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is being interpretation of stone. They following, would they go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and said, "Follow me." And now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. It probably is a possibility in verse 44, that's the way he probably lived, in Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." But here in we see that his name means, Peter means rock. And you know, the Catholic Church really did a lot of damage to this verse. They surely did. They really, as we know, they totally, well, it's a false teaching. There's nothing true about what they teach. But they really, really make a terrible disgrace to Peter's name. And they, you know how they teach that the rock is Peter and the rock is going to build the church, which is totally false. No church is not built on a person. The church is built on the Lord Jesus Christ, the true believers. Yes, you have the local church, but it's not what Christ is speaking about. But let's look at Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, verses 13 to 19. God's going to give us more information here about Peter. In Matthew 16, verse 13, here we read, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I am, the Son of Man am?' And they said, 'Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He said unto them, 'But who say thou that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, this great confession here, God is going to go on to in verse 17. It's a wonderful confession. It didn't come out of Peter's mind. God moved him to say this. And he goes on in verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. It's a beautiful confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And he goes on, And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is the verse that the Catholic Church really have no understanding whatsoever of what truth is. None whatsoever. But we're going to look at this verse here for a second. Who is this rock, and who is the church that Christ is speaking about? We know that that rock is Christ. Christ is the rock that he builds his church on, which is not the local congregation, as the true believers. You know, we sing the hymn, that's the hymn we sung, the church is one foundation through Christ our Lord. It's not the local church. Christ is the foundation, and the church is all the true believers. That's why Christ came to build, the church of Christ, of all the true believers. Go back over to the Old Testament in Psalms. Looking at the word rock. We know that rock is Christ. I mean, you go in the Old Testament, how Moses struck the rock. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the water gushed out, the gospel. And so many, many, many verses you could look at it within the Bible to show that more than likely when Christ, not in all situations, when he speaks about a rock, he's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it's Psalm 18, and so many other verses you could look at in the Bible. But just look at a few verses to show that the rock is Christ. It is not Peter. In Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2, I will love thee, O Jehovah, my strength. Jehovah is my rock. Christ is the rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, in my and my high tower. So you see, it is Christ. God is our rock, and it's not Peter. Let's read verse 30 in the same chapter. Verse 30, Psalm 18. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of Jehovah is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save Jehovah? Or who is a rock save our God? God is the rock in which we trust, that Christ is going to build a church on, and not someone else. In verse 46 of the same chapter, Jehovah liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. He's the one that we exalt. He's the one who is the rock of our salvation, as the God uses this term here. And let's look at some more. Look at Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy. And all these verses are from the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verses 1 to 4. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 to 4. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of Jehovah, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. So No, it's absolutely sure that the rock is our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's look in the New Testament over in Romans chapter 9. It's the same idea. The scriptures show that the rock, nothing is built on any human being. It's on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 9, verses 31 to 33. In Romans chapter 9, verses 31 to 33. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. For behold, it is written, for as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be dismayed. And that stone of stumbling, and many people, you know, they stumble at Christ. And there's a verse in the Bible that when that stumbling stone falls on you, it's going to grind you to powder, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, the stone of stumbling is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt that this rock that we speak about in the Bible, it is not Peter, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And one last verse, if you turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So the same idea there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 6. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock. See, remember the rock there that Moses struck in the wilderness? Is it, you know, because we have to look at the spiritual meaning. It's a spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. See, that rock in the wilderness when Moses struck it, and the water came out, it was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's no doubt that that rock there is Christ. And verses 5 and 6 says, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, but as they lusted. So there is no doubt that this rock that Christ is speaking about, when he says, upon this rock he will build his church, it is not the Apostle Peter. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, which he came into this world. He's been building throughout time. All true believers, that's the rock that I believe God is speaking about, and not the rock that a denomination say is a man. It's impossible. It's impossible. And let's look at over there in Matthew 16, verse 18, we're going to look at the church. Remember, two words I want to look at, the rock and now the church. The church. And we know we're living in a day where God is no longer using the local church. God judged them, and now the whole world is under judgment. He's no longer using them. But the church that Christ is speaking about in these verses is the body of believers. Is the body of believers. Let's look at the book of Acts. We saw the church age began over there in the book of Acts, and how God used the apostles. And then let's look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 43 to 47. We're going to break into almost the end of that chapter. Acts chapter 2, verse 43 to 47. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and all had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, and every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. See, it's not the local church. Not because somebody was a part of a church doing a church that didn't make them saved. But here is the church that Christ is interested in, is the church, the body of all the true believers, because we know that God added to the church here daily as should be saved. We know there are a great many that became truly saved because the Lord Jesus tells us, because God was adding to it. Not in numbers, but those who were to be saved, God saved them, so they were truly saved. And that's the church that Christ came to build, is the church of all true believers. And let's look at another verse in Colossians. Let's turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption, speaking about Christ, how he delivered us from the wrath to come, from the power of darkness and so forth. But in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, speaking about Christ, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. Body, true believers. Christ is the head of it, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So you see, no other than Christ. You know, Christ, he's the pillar and ground of truth. He's not some denomination. He is the rock, and he's the church here, spiritually, the church that he came to build. And we're living in a day now where the church building is completed, all the true believers have been saved, and we're just simply waiting for that day when our salvation, our bodies, will be completed. And how wonderful that is, that church, he built it. God is faithful to his word, his promises, his commitments. And that church, the rock we see, is no other than the Lord Jesus Christ and the church that he came to build. And he's using Peter as an example of that. Let's turn back over to 1 Peter chapter 1. So we see, I'm not going to look at everything about Peter, but just his name right here. And it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Here God says he's an apostle. We know that Christ named, he came and he chose the apostles. Peter was one of them. And who could name all 12 apostles? Who could name all 12 apostles? A pop quiz. Anybody could name all 12 apostles without looking at the Bible? Oh, I just can't believe this. Anybody could name all 12 apostles? It's a pop quiz. Anybody? Huh? Maybe? Okay, how many can you name, Bob? Do it later? Okay. Well, that's your assignment for next time. To name all the 12 apostles. I think I'm going to stop here. I want to get into to what that word means. Yeah, I'm a pop quiz. I'm going to hold you all for that name, all 12. 12 names. I read them last night. So I had the heads up on you guys. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's close. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for this time together around thy word. Oh Lord, what a blessing it is to look into thy word and work through the book of Peter. Oh Lord, we ask that you will give us some wisdom and understanding, O Lord, of what we read. Father, we know, Lord, that of ourselves we can't understand anything about thy word, a word, a phrase, or anything, unless you've given us spiritual eyes to see. And, oh Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time together around thy word. We ask thy blessing upon all the activities of this day. Pray for Chris as he bring forth thy word and a question and answer time together. And, oh Lord, we thank you, Lord, for thy mercies. In Jesus' name, amen.